A reading from Genesis. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. A reading from John. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
I'm scared for my child, Lord, for mother, for what your people want to do to one another, for the water, for the trees, man, I'm scared of pollution and disease. Well, I'm scared that my child won't live a long time with your murder and rape and your drug money crime. And I'm scared of the drugs to you from the young. Another life story will now or never be sung. And I pray my child lives happy and long, Lord. And I hope she never will sing this song. And I pray my child lives happy and long, Lord. And I hope she never will sing this song. Well, as a man talk of peace now, good intentions, I'm only gonna look at his latest inventions. Hope I'm wrong, Lord, heard I'm right, man, he could end it all on here tonight. Well, I know upon this night another village is burning, child losing life as the first sun is turning. Leaders of Holocaust stand so tall, man, look like there ain't no value on life at all. And I pray my child lives happy and long, Lord. And I hope she never will sing this song. And I pray my child lives happy and long, Lord. And I hope she never will sing this song. Lord, please forgive me if my fear offends now. It's just so hard to transcend now. It's with me when I wake from a bad dream. The child inside was too scared. So Lord, please forgive me if my fear offends now. It's just so hard to transcend now. It's with me when I wake from a bad dream. The child inside was too scared. And I pray my child lives happy and long, Lord. And I hope she never will sing this song. And I pray my child lives happy and long, Lord. And I hope she never will sing this song.
And all God's children said amen.
Amen.
This morning we continue our annual summer sermon series, CrossFlix, Discovering Faith in Film. We've been looking at films from all genres, classic, documentary, award-winning, animated, and discovering where faith does intersect with film. It helps us share the gospel in a new way with folks who may find religion to be not their thing or to maybe suspicious, but who share our same core values. Next week, Mark Stevenson will be preaching on the film Arrival, which you can view at our Harmony Toluca Lake campus this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Now, this morning, our film is our animated feature, and we're privileged to have as part of our church family two folks who work for Walt Disney Animation. Now, how many of you have seen the Oscar award-winning Zootopia? All right. Well, you'll want to come to our talk back with Vice President of Communications and Publicity for Walt Disney, Amy Astley, who's back there. Amy, say, wave your hands, we can see you. And Derek Nelson, a lighting artist and who worked on this film. So I do hope you'll come back to Grant Hall. That's our fireplace room, which we will not have the fireplace going, but we will have lots of chairs, and you can grab some coffee and cookies or water and then head back there for a conversation with them. The hero of Zootopia is named Judy Hopps, and she dreams of becoming a police officer so she can make the world a better place. But Judy has a problem, as we heard in the children's time. She's a cute little bunny. In other words, she's defined as prey and not predator. Definitely not the stereotypical police material of Zootopia. That job is reserved for large male animals like lions and elephants and buffalo. No bunny has ever joined the police force of Zootopia. And her parents, who are carrot farmers, and the water buffalo police, Chief Bogo, have grave doubts about Judy's abilities. And so too does Nick Wilde, a fox, a predator, a con artist. In this first clip, Judy, as a police officer, fresh from the academy, assigned to whatever, parking duty, meets Nick as he faces discrimination from an adult elephant that refuses to serve him a popsicle at an ice cream shop.
Officer, I can't thank you enough. So kind, really. Can I pay you back?
Oh, no, my treat. It's just, you know, it burns me up to see folks with such backward attitudes toward foxes. I just want to say you're a great dad and just a real articulate fella.
Oh, well, that is high praise. It's rare that I find someone so non-patronizing. Officer
Hopps, Mr.
Wilde, Nick Wilde.
And you, little guy, you want to be an elephant when you grow up? You be an elephant, because this is Zootopia. Anyone can be anything.
Ah, oh, boy, I tell him that all the time. All right, here you go. Two paws. Yeah. Oh, look at that smile. That's a happy birthday smile. All right, give her a little bye-bye toot-toot.
Toot-toot.
Bye now.
Goodbye.
Even at the beginning of the film, we see that there are biases that come forward. A real articulate fella, non-patronizing. But still, at the beginning of the film, because it's a Disney film, we think we will know who are the good guys and who are the bad guys, that the bunnies will be good and the foxes will be bad. But, you know, as we get on and on through the film, we realize that everyone in Zootopia, which is the animal version of Utopia, is implicated in the prejudices that affect society as a whole. And those biases typically begin in our formative years. And that's why, my brothers and sisters, raising our children in the church is so important. Amen? None of us is perfect or blameless, and God does know, the church certainly isn't. But if we as adults model lives that overcome our biases, or at least try to, our children will notice, and they'll follow our lead in trying to overcome their own. In the second clip, we see how Nick's adult behaviors were shaped by a traumatic experience in childhood, and how that caused him to become that con artist and to not trust others until he got to know Judy.
I think I was 8 or maybe 9, and all I wanted to do was join the Junior Ranger Scouts. So my mom scraped together enough money to buy me a brand new uniform because, by God, I was gonna fit in, even if I was the only predator in the troop, the only fox.
Okay, Nick.
I was gonna be part of a pack.
Ready for initiation?
Yeah.
Pretty much born ready.
I was so proud.
Okay, now raise your right paw and deliver the oath.
I, Nicholas Wilde, promise to be brave, loyal, helpful, and trustworthy.
Even though you're a fox.
What? No, no! What did I do wrong, you guys? No! Please tell me, what did I do wrong? What did I do?
If you thought we would ever trust a fox without a muzzle, you're even dumber than you look.
I learned 2 things that day. 1, I was never going to let anyone see that they got to me.
And 2?
If the world's only going to see a fox as shifty and untrustworthy, there's no point in trying to be anything else.
Nick, you are so much more than that.
Boy, look at that traffic down there. How about we go out to Chuck in Traffic Central? Chuck, how are the things looking on the jam cams?
Nick, I'm glad you told me.
As we read in the poetry of Genesis this morning, God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps along the ground of every kind, and God saw that it was good. It was good. And the animal kingdom we live with on earth comes with instincts that no amount of training can overcome. For example, here are my pups. Aww. They're both rescue dogs. The big one is Bruce. Guess why the boys named him that when they brought him home from the shelter? And the little one was my husband's, named Chato. Well, they love one another, and you would think that the big one, Bruce, would be the more aggressive of the two. If you ever come to my house and want to break in, all you have to do is pet Bruce and he'll let you right in. Come on in. I'll show you where everything is. The little one, though, the little one is the aggressor. A bird got into our house probably about, I don't know, 18 months ago, and the boys were trying to catch that bird so they could get it out and set it free, and just as they were ready to get it, Bruce is just looking around enjoying the spectacle, and Chato jumped up and he snapped that bird's neck. I'm sorry, okay? It wasn't what we were trying to accomplish. But that simply was, even though he is a domesticated animal, that is his instinct, and woe to any lizard that tries to sneak into our house. But you know, we as humans, unlike our creature counterparts, we have free will. And that is the brilliance of Zootopia. It takes the animal kingdom as a metaphor for who we are and how we live. And it proffers, what if animals did have free will? How might they choose to behave toward others, not like themselves? What if, through these animals, then by extension, we could identify the unfair stereotypes and judgments that we place on others, such as the scene where every DMV worker is a sloth. And I apologize if anyone works for the Department of Motor Vehicles in the congregation today. They're all kind and lovable, but move rather slowly. What if the terms predator and prey didn't have to define all those living in Zootopia? And then what if we, my brothers and sisters, what if we refused to allow ourselves to, as humans, to put labels on ourselves or on others? Most important, what if we refused to allow our own biases, all of them born out of ignorance or fear? What if we refused to allow those biases to dictate our actions? You know, Judy thought she had overcome her childhood fear of foxes as predators and naysayers. But when she's thrust into the limelight after she and Nick solved the first part of a case, she discovers the expanse of her own prejudices. After, of course, Desk Sergeant Klahauser finds the chief sharing his musical taste for Gazelle.
Wow, you are one hot dancer, Chief Bogo.
Chief Bogo!
Not now.
Wait, is that Gazelle?
No!
I'm Gazelle, and you are one hot dancer.
You have the app, too?
Klahauser, can't you see I'm working on the missing mammal cases?
Oh, yes, of course. About that, sir. Officer Hopps just called. She found all of them.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Yes?
What can you tell us about the animals that went savage?
Well, the animals in question, are they all different species? Yes. Yes, they are.
Okay, so what is the connection?
Oh, all we know is that they are all members of the predator family.
So predators are the only ones going savage?
Yes, that is accurate, yes.
Why? Why is this happening?
We still don't know. But it may have something to do with biology.
What do you mean by that?
A biological component. You know, something in their DNA.
In their DNA? Can you elaborate on that, please?
Yes. What I mean is, thousands of years ago, predators survived through their aggressive hunting instincts. For whatever reason, they seem to be reverting back to their primitive savage ways. It is possible, so we must be vigilant. And we at the ZPD are prepared and are here to protect you.
We're more mammals, go savage.
What is being done to protect us?
Have you considered a mandatory quarantine on predators?
Okay, thank you, Officer Hopps. That's all the time that we have. No more questions.
Was I okay?
Oh, you did fine.
Oh, that went so fast. I didn't get a chance to mention you or say anything about how we...
Oh, I think you said plenty.
What do you mean?
Clearly there's a biological component. These predators may be reverting back to their primitive savage ways. Are you serious?
I just stated the facts of the case. I mean, it's not like a bunny could go savage.
Right, but a fox could, huh?
Nick, stop it. You're not like them.
Oh, there's a them now.
You know what I mean. You're not that kind of predator.
The kind that needs to be muzzled? The kind that makes you think you need to carry around fox repellent? Yeah, don't think I didn't notice that little item the first time we met. So, let me ask you a question. Are you afraid of me? Do you think I might go nuts? You think I might go savage? You think I might try to eat you? I knew it. Just when I thought somebody actually believed in me, huh? Probably best if you don't have a predator as a partner.
Our scripture lesson for this morning directly addresses the issues of fear of the other, fear of those that we thought were our friends, love in identifying our own biases that we find in Zootopia. Years ago, the great preacher William Sloan Coffin preached on this text saying the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. Now, likely written by the same John who authored the Gospel of John, the Epistle of John's claim that perfect love casts out fear or drives out fear is about the relationship between those of us who follow the Christ and God, who is creator and judge of the world. You see, if we see God primarily as a judge of us all, but especially others, we're likely to approach God with fear, both in this life and in the life to come. But if we see God primarily as a God of love, a God of perfect love, then we approach God with confidence and not fear. God's love, the epistle tells us, is perfect. And our love for God and others is perfected because we love, because God first loved us. You see, God's love is the grounding for a new possibility for ourselves and our lives, knowing that we are loved perfectly by God. But equally as important in John's writing is the teaching that perfect love casts out fear in our relationships and even love that is not perfect. Love that is imperfect. When we try our best to incarnate God's love and fall short, even those best attempts can diminish fear. Even those awkward ways in which we try to love others can drive out irrational fears that too often grips us as a society. But in order to accomplish that, we need to be aware of how our actions can affect others, of what damage our actions can cause as we see the pain that Judy's speech caused to her friend, the innocent Clawhauser.
Meanwhile, a peace rally organized by pop star Gazelle was marred by protest.
Go back to the forest, predator!
I'm from the savannah!
Zootopia is a unique place. It's a crazy, beautiful, diverse city where we celebrate our differences. This is not the Zootopia I know. The Zootopia I know is better than this. We don't just blindly assign blame. We don't know why these attacks keep happening, but it is irresponsible to label all predators as savages.
It's not my image.
We cannot let fear divide us. Please give me back the Zootopia I love.
Come on, Hops. The new mayor wants to see us.
The mayor? Why?
It would seem you've arrived.
Clawhauser? What are you doing?
They thought it would be better if a predator such as myself wasn't the first face that you see when you walk into the ZPD.
What?
They're gonna move me to records. It's downstairs. It's by the boiler.
Hops!
My brothers and sisters, in this life, fear breeds more fear. But compassion breeds more compassion, and at the end of the day, love breeds more love. When Judy sees the irrational fears that her less than introspective comments have stirred up among predators and prey alike, and how that fears inspires those fears inspire panic, and that panic affects those close to her, she begins to own her own biases. She begins to take ownership of how her actions are based in fear and how they can affect those around her. And then she chooses to reject fear over love through action.
When I was a kid, I thought Zootopia was this perfect place where everyone got along and anyone could be anything. Turns out, real life's a little bit more complicated than a slogan on a bumper sticker. Real life is messy. We all have limitations. We all make mistakes, which means, hey, glass half full, we all have a lot in common. And the more we try to understand one another, the more exceptional each of us will be. But we have to try. So no matter what type of animal you are, from the biggest elephant to our first fox, I implore you, try. Try to make the world a better place. Look inside yourself and recognize that change starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with all of us.
Change does start with us. I read an online commentary that said, ultimately, Zootopia pushes us as human beings and as people of faith to not simply walk out of the theater or turn off the DVD whistling a happy tune, but to look within our hearts to discover how God calls us to see Christ in the other whom has been deemed unworthy. Zootopia encourages us to set aside fear and prejudice to love more fully and more perfectly. It's a difficult and it's a messy task, but it is the kind of change that's necessary for making the world resemble God's vision of the beloved community. And right now, my brothers and sisters, our nation resembles little of the beloved community. The forces of division and scapegoating and fear and every ism we could name have ruled our national narrative just this past week. Think about it. We've seen our transgender brother and sister soldiers who serve our country with dignity dismissed and maligned and said that they are not worthy to serve simply because of who they are. We've heard our Justice Department declare that civil rights protections in our Constitution amendments probably don't apply to gay and lesbian folk. I've watched in horror, and I'm sure you have too, as one senior official in the White House publicly and profanely humiliated another with no condemnation from the chief executive. We've seen the Boy Scouts of America apologize to troops and their leaders nationwide for the inappropriate comments made by the president. We've seen healthcare politicized to the point that 32 million people almost lost access to coverage, and that struggle is not over. And at the core of all of these acts, all of these boundary crossings, all of these ways in which civility seems to be declining, at the core of all these acts, rather, is fear. It's fear of the unknown. It's fear of the other. It's fear of change. It's fear of whatever you name it. The bottom line is fear. Yesterday, I heard this sort of fear addressed as I attended the public swearing in of a friend, Monica Rodriguez, as councilwoman of the 7th District of Los Angeles. I was privileged to be one of the clergy who stood with her at her ceremony and to hear the vision of Los Angeles cast in a less formal way than we often hear. Specifically, I'll lift up the speech that was given by our state's Attorney General, Javier Becerra, who prior to this position was my own congressman for 20-plus years. And he spoke of how we as a city and a state and a nation cannot return to where we came from, that as forces are calling us to every single day, forces that would have us diminish the other that we see in our daily lives. Instead, we need to resist all efforts that would have us retreat in terms of civil rights. We need to resist all efforts that would have us move from being anything from a diverse and progressive and inclusive society, especially here in Los Angeles. Amen. He talked about the need for us to keep our focus on moving forward for the sake of our children and for all those among us. Brothers and sisters, we need to be the change. The change that identifies and rejects our own internal biases and those which can easily be manipulated in the public square that would pit us against each other, because we are all God's beloved children. We need to be the change that says we will not go back to the way things were, but we will commit to making things better for each of us today and tomorrow without exception. We need to be the change that proclaims that love is greater than fear. Love for God, love for our neighbor, love for the Christ that we see in others, no matter what. We need to reject any effort that appeals to our basest interests and instead work to appeal to the greater angels among us all. Whether it's speaking truth to power, or refusing to accept stereotypes, or simply offering a cold cup of water to someone in need, I pray that our actions and our lives will proclaim that perfect love is indeed greater than fear. Because the kingdom was created and God called it good, and God calls each of us good. And so may we, in the words of Judy Hopps, work to make the world a better place today and always. Amen.